Welcome to the Pop Punk Emo Supremo Podcast.
I'm gonna need a little more energy, Roper.
Well, let me introduce you and you might get a little more.
Okay, I mean, I guess.
This is the number one host sitting across from me. Y'all know his name. It's Hunter.
It's me. Then we got Roper, the number one guest sitting
there. I'm 1A this week.
Am I A1? Am I steak sauce?
You are steak sauce, but everyone knows you make a good steak. You don't need any sauce.
It's true. Yeah.
Very true.
What a weird little point to jump in at. But so this week we got a little something interesting.
Yeah, we're back from fighting the demon that is COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I guess COVID-19, but
Hunter fought alone while I stayed at home and cowered.
Yes. I was really sick for only a day, but I knew it was COVID. And then within two more days, I went to go take another test, and it was out of my system, and I went back to work. So there was no 2 weeks of pure agony.
I think that's a record.
It might be. I was genuinely shocked that I got a positive test. I just did it because I needed to get out of my house.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the best way to do it.
Oh, let me see if I'm sick so I can come back home.
Yeah. So, yeah, my girlfriend and I survived COVID along with my roommate. And, we're all doing great now. Uh-oh.
I have asthma.
Uh-huh. That's what we all thought at first. Oh, no, my asthma.
My asthma.
But we got a cool little topic of what bands sold out. We got five bands. We're going to share some newer songs, some older songs. We're going to discuss the topic of, did these bands sell out? Are they about to sell out?
Yeah.
What even is selling out? We'll get to it.
Yeah.
We'll get to it. But our listener responses, we asked, what bands do you guys think sold out? Which actually helped us with some of our choices.
Absolutely.
So, Roper, hit us off.
All right, my buddy Zach Kempf, with his Instagram handle, It's Just Kempf, responded, A Day to Remember.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Hey.
Oh, wait.
Can you pause for a sec, my friend?
Our buddies at the Empty Space podcast said, Travis Barker, 1,000,000%.
Oh, you have such a great Boston accent. I think mine was British.
That was terrible.
No, I've never been good at accents.
Oh, my God. That was terrible. That was my Peter Griffin.
Yeah, that was... Ugh. Right. Purgatory Dry Band said, not big on saying sell out, but honestly, Fall Out Boy kind of did with their last album.
I would say...
Shut up.
I'm so heated.
Can we wait just a second? Watch Your Tone Vision says Blink-182 in the story so far. Don't block me, please. We didn't block you.
Nope.
In fact, you know, a little bit of something later on in the episode we'll discuss.
Yeah.
So that's cool. But Roper, that's our listener responses. We got a nice clean introduction, but how about we get some new releases of the week taken care of?
Hell yeah. So, there wasn't really anything this week, per se, that I really liked.
Mm-hmm. Past 2 weeks, actually.
Past 2 weeks. I guess, I don't know, I'll get into it. But, actually, 2 weeks ago when we were supposed to record this, fuck you, COVID, a band named Honey Creek put out a single called Hear Me Now.
To this, I liked it.
It's a banger.
It's a good song.
I like it. They were in Des Moines within the last month, and I'm very mad that I missed them. They played at the Gas Lamp.
Oh yeah, no, I listened to it and I was very impressed. And I feel like this is the second time they've been mentioned on
yeah,
the show. From
I think,
you,
I think I had talked about them back in season one.
Wow, really? So, yeah. So that was a while ago.
Yep, yeah, whole friggin' year ago, dude.
I chose Like Pacific's new record because it's pretty much the best release of the past 2 weeks since we didn't, in my opinion. I'm not trying to take away anything from Mr. Roper.
Yeah, don't speak for me.
I'm sorry, but I love this.
Yeah, this album fucking rules.
It's called Control My Sanity, and I chose the song Love Them and Leave. My baby, leave them. sometimes pick a song that wasn't a single.
Hollow Tears is really good.
I honestly like the whole record. I probably listened to it all the way through at least 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
But their slow songs still my favorite.
Oh yeah.
it's a guilty little pleasure of mine. Some other notable releases. Hot Mulligan released their new acoustic record, Acoustic Volume 1.
Yeah.
It's appropriately titled. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Just 4 songs.
4 songs of 4
off random releases. So
there's 2 from You'll Be Fine and then 2 from their most recent EP.
And the Knuckle Puck released Levitate. What'd you think of this one?
I loved it.
I was like, man, this is so boring to me.
Oh, wow. I think it's just it was a lot different than what I was expecting to come from them. Because I thought it was going to be a lot slower or just a different sound, kind of like what 2020 was. But it has like kind of a feel like, do you remember when they put out Calendar Days? That song, that single? Ago. Yeah, it kind of reminded me of that single. Not as hard, though.
It just reminded me of a song that would like be on the record after a slow song to pick up the pace of the record.
I think it's a B-side.
Yeah, I'm like, why would you... I don't know.
Because they're going on tour.
Well, don't care.
They got to put out a new song before they go out on tour, man. Come on.
They put out a better one? Sorry, Knuckle Puck fans. If you like this song, no, you know, good for you. It's just not for me, I guess.
It's okay.
I don't know what it is. I saw it and I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna listen to this and love it. And my brain was like, how dare you, Knucklebuck? But as we said, not a lot of releases.
No,
in the past couple of weeks. So we're gonna go ahead and
it's the end of the year, so a lot of bands aren't gonna put anything out until the first of the year.
Mm-hmm. But we always gotta mention the Pop Punkers on Reddit. So they always release a little list of new releases, and it's super convenient for us and for anybody else who cares to look at that up. Also, we have a Spotify playlist that you guys can check out. Roper curates it.
I just updated it yesterday.
I saw
as of this recording.
I saw that he added 2 new songs. My new favorite song, Levitate's, on there.
I put 4 new songs on there.
I only saw 2.
Oh, well, you didn't look hard enough.
Maybe I didn't.
I don't put them at the top. I mix them in with the older songs.
Oh, okay. Excuse me.
So when you're playing it on shuffle and something new pops up, you're like, oh, I like that. Or you're like, oh, why'd he put that on there?
Yeah.
But I'll probably update it again.
Not enough Bowling for Soup on there. Only 1 song, Roper?
I'll put some more on there for you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Well, are you ready to get into the main topic?
Absolutely.
Roper, I have a question for you.
What?
What does a band selling out mean? What's the definition of that?
Do you want my definition or the one that you Google?
I want yours so then I can read mine.
Well, that's not fair, because you Googled your answer.
It's pretty well put. In terms of music or art, selling out is associated with attempts to tailor material to a mainstreamed or commercial audience. For example, a musician who alters their material to encompass a wider audience and in turn generates greater revenue may be labeled by fans who predate the change as a sellout. So, honestly, I don't know how you could beat that. I think that's a pretty great...
See, my definition would have been shit.
It would have been?
Yeah.
I think mine would have been, they started releasing poopy techno music.
They started releasing things that sound similar to what's on the radio.
Yeah.
That's what I would have said.
Come on, guys. You know what's funny, though? I feel like the radio doesn't even matter anymore.
No, not at all.
I mean, at least not compared to what it used to.
Well, I think with streaming sites and stuff, this is my opinion. I feel like there's a lot more originality coming out of the streaming sites because there's a lot more smaller artists that get a bigger platform to release their music.
That's why I think selling out doesn't really matter as much now.
Yeah, I think the term is going to be gone, at least within this scene.
Oh, I know. People always be saying that shit.
Yeah, but they don't know the true definition like you and I do.
Yeah, the one that I magically
the
Googled.
One that we Googled.
I should just start binging things so I could be original. Dude, so I don't sell out.
Bing. Bing bong.
God damn it. You and my lady.
You put it right in my head.
So, Roper, we got 5 bands we're going to discuss that we can really get into, whether we think they have sold out or not, why we think that. I think from one of our listener responses, we could start off with the... very infamous band, Fall Out Boy.
Old Fob.
Old Fob. Man, I wish I could do impressions. we thought a really good song from their older catalog to kind of like give an idea of what their sound used to be would be Sugar, We're Going Down.
Like, a lot of people are going to be like, no, this is the record where they sold out.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of different questions on that. But anyway, Sugar, We're Going Down, 2005, that's when that dropped, from the amazing album Under the Cork Tree. So first and foremost, I love this song.
I love this whole album, dude.
The album's great. The song is, I think the song is what magnetized me to the album.
Oh, yeah. I think this is a lot of people's first exposure to Fall Out Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, back in the day, this song was just everywhere.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, for good reasons, too. I think the production was amazing on it. I'd actually love to dig into who produced this record because...
Were they still on Field by Ramen by then?
I don't know. No idea. I should have looked a little bit more on that, but
oh well.
Yeah. You know, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
We're not looking up production of this.
No, we're not that fancy.
We're seeing if they sold out or not.
Mm-hmm. We're like they played three chords in that song.
Probably.
And this one? Oh hell no.
No.
And then anyway, we're gonna compare it to the song Century.
Sucks.
You hate this song?
It drives me nuts. This and Uma Thurman, I'm like, what'd you do to my fob?
Can you say that in a Boston accent?
What? Let me start again.
Yeah, okay.
What'd you do to my Fallout Boy?
Don't get fob? Okay, whatever.
My fab.
F-A-A-B. So 2014 is when this song released. It's off the record American Beauty / American Psycho. Okay, just kind of going into Centuries real quick. I also absolutely despise this song.
It made me so mad.
I remember hearing it all the time, yes. And then it was in that Percy Jackson movie, enough is enough.
I never saw that.
I was like, enough is enough, so gave up on that pretty quick.
Oh boy, my Percy Jackson.
I do want to kind of like put an unpopular opinion and say that there are elements of their older stuff in this song.
Oh, yeah.
But definitely, I don't feel like they would have wrote this song when they were younger.
No.
Like, I don't think this would have even came to their mind. I think they tried to make such a hooky chorus that they were more focused on that than the rest of the song.
Yeah.
Because, like, everyone can think of, like, how that in Centuries, like, you can think how that sounds.
You can just say the word Centuries and I hear the song.
Yeah, exactly. So they did a good job with that. I think there's Fall Out Boy who sold out back in 2014, and then I think there is Fall Out Boy today that, like, are they even trying anymore?
Yeah.
Their last record was so bad that I gave up all hope in enjoying anything from them anymore. They had one song on there that I was like, this could be a poppy thing that I could enjoy. And then the rest of it was like, I couldn't believe how bad it was. But this is all opinion-based, so if you like it, sorry, I'm shitting on something you like.
It's okay if you like it.
But what do you think? Do you think this band sold out, Roper?
Absolutely. I feel like people could say, like, on when they came out with Infinity on High, or even with From Under the Cork Tree, the people that listened to them from Take This to Your Grave were probably like, oh, I don't like this, because this used to be my dirty little secret.
And then the popularity started.
And then once they were on like the radio and like MTV, they just like exploded. But I mean, the genre exploded around then too, or it was like that towards the end of the pop punk emo genre. I would say towards the middle to the end of this genre, like being at its most popular. And where was I going with that? Oh yeah. but I feel like people could say that there's some elements from Under the Cork Tree where they're like, oh no, this isn't like a pop punk song, like Dance Dance. But still, that song fucking slaps still.
Dance Dance?
Yeah.
It's funny. That's like always been one of my least favorite songs.
I mean, from that album, it's one of my least favorites, but I feel like they have a bunch of other songs that I could just like throw away. But I feel like on Infinity on High, I feel like that's where they started leaning towards the pop side more so than the punk side. Hmm. And so
I would say it's the record after that, the Frenchy looking Follow Do or something like that with the bears.
Was that, did they put out an album after that?
Yeah, they
after
did.
After Infinity on
Because I started listening to some songs off that because I'm like, I've never listened to this. And I
don't think I've ever listened to it too. I thought they like took like a long break after Infinity on High. So I must not have liked that most of that album.
You're not a big fan, huh?
No. I mean, there's one song that I liked. I can't name the title of it because it's so damn long.
Oh, yeah.
The Lawyer song or no. Oh,
no, that's off of...
No, there's another long... fuck it. I don't know.
I mean, they've released like 100 songs. Yeah, so
they put out that Me and You... Sitting in a honeymoon, that song, and I was like, I'm like, this is really catchy. I like that.
You
and
like
then
that one.
Anything after that, I was just like, nah.
Yeah, they had like a 5-year break in between certain records.
Yeah.
But like the Follow Do, I know I'm saying that wrong, but that's how I'm remembering it.
I have no clue.
It's the record with the two bears, and it has a Frenchy afterbirth to it.
Okay.
So. Point is, let me just say this. I absolutely think they sold out.
Oh, yeah.
There really was something special about the older Fall Out Boy songs, and I could never understand why they decided to go the route they did. Their music was already popular when they were releasing classic pop punk, and I believe in 2013's record, Save Rock and Roll is where the shift really began. And the record I was talking about earlier came before Save Rock and Roll, but okay. I think Save Rock and Roll was like the, okay, this is where we're doing.
Was that the one that came out in 2009 then?
No, I think this one came out, this one came out in 2013.
No, I'm talking about whatever.
I think so.
That you think it's called.
This is probably just like called Chuck or something.
Yeah.
And,
Chuck Part 2.
But that was kind of the thing that always blew me away. It's like, they're already popular. Why are they changing their sound to try to... Because then they just lost a bunch of the fans that they garnered through, you know, Under the Cork Tree. Because they were popular then.
Yeah. They probably thought they were progressing towards something that everybody thought... Or that they thought everyone wanted. And in reality, that happens with a lot of bands, though.
I mean, maybe.
You could argue that it happens with every band that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
But
I mean as musicians grow, they're going to change their sound up.
Yeah, cuz you get different influences the more music that you listen to.
Mm-hmm. But there's a big difference between growing as a musician and selling out.
Oh yeah.
But although I wonder if there has been a few circumstances where someone just really actually liked the sellout music kind of sound and then they were just like, fuck,
I mean,
I
if
make that.
if it's what your interests were like growing up and stuff, like if your only access was to like top 40 radio and you start playing in a punk band or something like that, which is weird, but
yeah.
But well, like odd. you're gonna lean towards your childhood influences.
True. That's why I'm gonna become a country artist soon.
Yeah, one day it's gonna be I can't even think of, we'll call you Sunday Morning Grits.
Sounds good.
From Warren County, Iowa.
Do we have any more thoughts on Fall Out Boy?
I think they sold out, and it's kind of a shame because I go back to their earlier stuff, and they could have been a completely different band in my mind. I feel like they could have had like more mature music writing and stuff like that. They talk about mature things, but it's still in like a catty way.
Yeah,
and
they had really cool ways of looking at things.
Yeah,
and I think they abandoned that quite a bit.
Yeah, for very, really bubblegum sounding.
I'm sure a lot of diehard Fall Out Boy fans would say otherwise.
Oh yeah,
like I could still find some things to love about like some of the newer Fall Out Boy songs, like the Phoenix song. I love that song.
Is that on the Ghostbusters movie?
I don't know. Did they go like dun dun dun? Dun? I can't do it. Can't do it justice.
Like, I really, once I heard Uma Thurman, I'm like, I'm done.
You know, Uma Thurman.
I mean, fucking hate that song so much.
I think I know which one you're talking about.
It drives me nuts.
I'm going to play it all the time.
No.
But anyway, that's Fall Out Boy. Those are just our thoughts. If you guys love Fall Out Boy, awesome. We love parts of Fall Out Boy.
Yeah. I think they're great musicians.
They are. And I think is Patrick Stump the lead singer?
Yeah,
I think
his vocals are phenomenal.
They're amazing. It's just so sad that it is what it is.
Why'd you waste it on the pop radio, you know?
Yeah. Ugh. So anyway, another artist, Roper came up with this one. You want to talk about this one?
Yeah, I chose State Champs. Oh, this is going to be...
He's already smiling.
This is going to be like, in terms of selling out, I think that, well, should we go through the songs or...
Yeah, let's go through the songs.
Because I don't want to give my opinion right away
if
you don't know what songs we're talking about.
Well, here, we got a classic one. This is what got me into the band. The song All You Are Is History. This dropped out in 2015 off the record Around the World and Back. First and foremost, what an amazing record.
The record was awesome.
Around the World and Back even my dad liked it.
Really?
Maybe that means that they were selling out back then. I don't know.
Yeah, your dad's like, oh, I know something. It's top 40 radio. I don't even know Hunter's dad.
Never even met my dad. But I mean, yeah, no, what a great record. So many. And then like the previous record is something that I've had to go back to and enjoy.
That first record was what brought me to them, and that's probably my favorite record by them. And I think that first record, front to back, is flawless. It's so good.
See, I would say that about the second record.
Well, second record, too, but okay. I just like the first one just as...
And then we're going to talk about another song they had. Roper's favorite song. It's called Out of My Head. I can't get you out of my head.
I wish I could get this song out of my head.
You wishing? Wow. You just had to pull that little dad joke in there.
I did.
That dropped this year, 2021. It was a single. It didn't even... There's a few different... A few couple singles they dropped that kind of all had the same vibe to me.
I think it's technically a single with Just Sound, which I love Just Sound.
You like Just Sound?
Yeah.
Really?
I like it more than this song.
I mean, I do too, but Roper, you have a lot to say. Please inform us.
Okay. I think I've got some kind of like background weird feelings with State Champs. I love the band as a whole. Like, I think they're great. They're very nice people. Derek's vocals are phenomenal.
Absolutely.
But there's just something that like in their newer songs where I'm like, did they even try?
I'll get to
like,
that too.
Yeah. And then I could kind of see them going towards this direction right after Around the World and Back came out.
You thought that about their last record too?
The last record more so, yeah.
Really?
More than Around the World and Back Again. Around the World and Back Again, I didn't think that they sold out. It's what came after that. Mm. So like Alt Press did this like, because Neck Deep and State Champs did a co-headlining tour with Knuckle Puck opening up for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so Alt Press covered it. And they did like this in the magazine. It was Ben and it was Derek on the front page. And then you like go in to read the story and it looked like it was something straight out of Tiger Beat.
Like it's Tiger Beat.
You know those like teen magazines with like your favorite like Disney Channel stars back in the day?
Of course.
Yeah, it was kind of like that, and I was like, what the fuck? This is, like,
yeah.
Hurts my stomach.
No, that's weird.
And so then...
Were they, like, just, like, sexualizing them, kind of?
It wasn't...
That's kind of what they... I remember how they did it back in the day. It was gross.
It just kind of looked like a teen magazine, and I'm like... this is alternative music. Why are we like catering that towards a mainstream magazine? Like, and it might have been a spoof, it might have been a parody, but like,
oh,
23-year-old me was like, not my pop punk. How could you take two of my favorite bands and make them look like this?
Mm-hmm.
And then they put out videos together and it was like cringe for me. I don't know what they, I don't remember what they were doing, but I just saw the video. I'm like, the fuck? I just saw both these bands and I don't, I'm pretty sure they don't act like this like normally.
What was it like? It was like Derek's five hairstyling tips for
Derek,
tour.
Derek had this weird, like, you know, those big like winter hats with the flaps that come down.
They're
usually like fur hats.
Mm-hmm.
He's like wearing one of those. He just looked really dumb. And I was like really mad about it. And I'm
I
like
how this has like just haunted you for
it has. It's bothered me because like they put out great fucking heartfelt songs and then they start to lean towards that pop more so than the punk. And I think the punk is like more beneficial to the two state champs than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then they put out the third record. And the first song I heard was Dead and Gone. I'm like, I fucking hate this. Like, I don't know
that's
if
so
I can
funny,
get into
I
it.
That's so funny because I really liked it, but I know why you hate it.
You know, I've talked about it before.
Oh, wow. I,
just like right away. And it's like that with that and whistling. If you make, if you
what?
Make, if you,
don't
make,
like whistling?
No, if you make a song that sounds exactly like a Blink 182 song, which we'll get into later.
Oh, wow.
But like just some. Some of these producers that they work with make everything sound the same, and it really just like drives people away. And
it also brings people in, though. So
it does.
I know why they do it.
Yeah. No, I get both sides of it. But it's like, if you, I don't know. I don't think they necessarily sold out, but they have done things where I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I don't know. I just went on a long winded rant about nothing.
But... Well, here's my opinion.
Okay.
So do I think that they sold out?
Oh, I have another story for you, too.
I bet you do.
There was...
We'll get to it. It's my turn,
no,
Roper.
Let me finish while I'm on this rant.
You gave me the torch, and
you've,
then you gave
you've cut me
back.
Off a couple times. Today. All right, let me cut
it.
You off for once.
Okay.
So I went to Warped Tour in 2018 at Shakopee. Yeah, so I'm standing in the middle of the state champs while they're playing their set at Warped Tour. And I look around, and I see, like, kids that are at least, like, 10 years younger than me, and I'm like, I didn't think I'd get to this point in my life where I'd be older than half the crowd, especially in like an, at the time it was like 3 years since they put out Around the World and Back Again. So it was like, they're still like, it was before the third record and in between the second, and they still had some like, I don't know. They still had some direction in my mind.
Yeah, no, I do think that.
And I was like, have they hit that like really young teen crowd, like 5 Seconds of Summer and like bands like that? And I was like, having this whole like inner turmoil in my head, and then by the end of it, I was fine.
Yeah,
I saw some like dad,
pit, you know.
I saw some dad like hanging out with his daughter. I'm like, okay, he's a cool dad. Like he's older than me.
No, I do think State Champs like has this amazing ability to kind of garner a ton of different age groups and fans. Like I would say their demographic is probably anywhere from 15 to like 30.
Oh yeah,
you know, so you're about up.
Yeah, one more year of state champs.
Mm-hmm, and then you're donezo,
my friend.
And
it's not ending well right now. But I did grow to love that third album.
I wouldn't say love. I'm in a like stage.
I'd say
I like it. There's some good stuff on there, but some
catchy ass songs on there.
It went from a perfect meld of pop and punk to like 75% pop.
Yes,
and there are some songs that's absolutely fine for. Like there are plenty of bands that are a pop punk band, but they release songs that like just are more for the pop side of things.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But when your whole record starts to veer more towards the pop thing, that's when I start getting a little bit concerned. You know, that's the nice thing about when a record drops. You don't have to like every single song on there, but you can find 3 or 4 you really dig. Generally, that's kind of what happens with records. Now, Roper, let me talk.
Sorry.
So anyway, I'm going to say no. I don't think this band sold out. Selling out to me doesn't necessarily mean that because they dropped some disappointing songs that they sold out. This just sounds like lazy state champs, as you were mentioning.
Yeah.
Earlier. Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Shut up.
Still on it. They put out a TikTok of them playing Secrets live. Mm-hmm. And there, it looked like there's no effort coming from Derek at all.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I haven't seen that, but I've noticed other things where
he's gotta be in the right place at the right time, so I'll just dive right in. And I'm like, maybe he's tired, and maybe that's like the encore song, but it just did not. I've seen them live multiple times, and it just, I'm so mad.
Yeah, I've noticed that band fall from grace. I think they're just kind of sick of it.
Yeah.
So maybe you won't have to stop liking Fall Out Boy, State Champs. Maybe they'll just quit.
They'll before just do it for me.
You even hit 30. Yeah. Their last record, Living Proof, was playing the line, and I don't think anyone can deny that State Champs is a poppy pop punk band. But I don't think they're trying to sell their most recent song off as a radio hit. Like it, they did have this like catchy hook, it wasn't even catchy, honestly.
It's more so annoying.
Out of my head, out of my head. Yeah. Like it's like, I gotta say, they just really have not been doing too hot.
No.
So this is a plea from a 26-year-old man living in a basement.
soon to be apartment.
Yeah, soon to be apartment, moving on up in the world. But State Champs, can you please just bring it with the next record?
Come on.
Bring it with the next. Give us more Around the World and Back. Give us more first record vibes.
Yeah.
I'd even take, because I don't know if you ever had the chance to listen, but their first release is just pure punk.
Yeah, I've heard that first EP and
Raid or anything. Yeah. But it's better than Out of My Head, Out of My Head.
Yeah. I just wonder where they went, like, what happened in between, like, why they chose to steer towards the pop side. I don't know. Maybe they're getting more attention that way.
I can't imagine that they are. I don't hear anyone talking about State Champs anymore.
No, I don't either.
And anytime I do hear about them, it's Around the World and Back.
Yeah.
Like, every single time. And then I'll mention the third record, and everyone will be like, yeah, like, it's good. You know, like, yeah. No one's like, yeah, I love the third record. It's so good. I love that fucking tiger on the front. It's my favorite.
I'm Tigers like, are cool.
No, I want the internet symbol on their record.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Around the World and Back, baby. But that's kind of how I feel, Roper. How do you feel? Do you think they sold out?
No, I don't think they sold out. I just think...
I really thought you were going
to
say yes.
No, I think they just changed their sound so much to a point where I'm not a fan of it right now. And that doesn't mean they sold out. I feel like if they were to be like, they were to add Drum Machine or something like that,
that would be the end.
I would be like, all right,
they have a great drummer.
Yeah, they're leaning towards a sound. If they added like those elements of like the Travis Barker factory made music now.
It's coming. I have a feeling.
Dude, I think they'll collaborate with Mark Hoppus over.
I don't think they have the money for Travis Barker right now.
I don't know how half the rappers have the money for that.
I don't know, but I'm surprised Avril Lavigne had any money left over.
Yeah, me too.
Next band, Roper. We got a favorite of mine.
Uh-huh.
I just hear you eating. Your saliva.
Oh, I'm sorry, dude.
Decomposing.
These new mics are great. I'm just testing that out for you.
Yeah, fantastic. Can't wait to use that. I'll sample that. A Day to Remember is the band I was speaking of. We're going to go with their older song, Have Faith in Me.
Love this song.
Have Faith in Me is a great song. Dropped in 2009 off the record Homesick. When I think of Old Day Remember, I think of Homesick, I think of What Separates Me From You, and I think of Common Courtesy. Those three records to me are gold, and I think What Separates Me From You and Homesick are 10 out of 10s, and then Common Courtesy is like an 8.5 or 9 out of 10, depending on my mood. And then you get into their next record that I can't remember what it's called.
Bad Vibrations.
Bad Vibrations.
The only reason I know that is because it's on my wall.
That record, it's funny. I went back to it and I was like, I actually like this a lot more than I remember liking it.
Probably because you heard the new record.
The new record just like gave it a whole new light of fresh air. Which, speaking of the new record, Roper, we got to talk about their their radio hit, Everything We Need. Because I know I got you. You know you got me. We got everything we need. We got everything we need. I know I got you. I know I got you. You know you got me.
Goddamn.
The song dropped in 21 this year, which is nuts. It might have dropped earlier and then the record dropped, but I think it dropped in 21.
I remember listening to this song when the record came out.
I remember being cold out and hearing it on the radio, and I was like, what is happening?
This album dropped in January.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
that's
anyway,
not going to make our top five.
What are you talking about? Yeah, it is.
Oh, no.
What album slash EP is it from? You're Welcome, as previously discussed.
Let's change the name to that to No Thank You.
I was going to say, You're Welcome was a... I think they kind of knew... They had to have known that that record was going to get so much hate. There's a few people... I was reading on a list of like people's top three records or something of the year, and I saw a couple people said You're Welcome.
But how?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Have they heard anything else from A Day to Remember?
I don't...
Or anything else that's out?
Yeah,
In general?
I would probably put this as my least favorite record that dropped this year.
The one that I had to listen to, like...
Yeah, we had to listen to it. We
listened to
it.
We reviewed it, and I was, like, not having fun.
Yeah. I kind of was, because I was like, oh, I'm going to shit on this part.
Oh, I was ready to shit on it.
Yeah.
But
Roper, tell me your thoughts. Do you think A Day to Remember sold out?
Yeah. I kind of thought they sold out with Bad Vibrations.
Really? Yeah. I don't at all. I think it was a bad record.
They were leaning towards that stadium sound in Bad Vibrations.
Like with what song?
I couldn't tell you because I haven't really listened to that song or that album since it came out. I can't remember any songs from it.
Dude, Paranoia is a great song.
Yeah, but I didn't like that song when it came out. That song's on You're Welcome.
No, it's not.
Do we have to look it up?
Yeah, but I know I'm right on this one.
All
right.
Go.
Respect the worst of everyone.
I was saying, though, like, with your album preferences, I think for Those Who Have Heart is probably my favorite because it was the first one that I heard by them.
Really? It really always is like, what's your first record you hear by a band you like?
I listened to Homesick so much that I got tired of hearing it.
Mm. What about What Separates Me
From You? And then What Separates Me From You, I was kind of on the hangover from Homesick. So I was I don't like it. Then I came back to it, and it's a great record. But Common Courtesy is like number two for me.
Really?
Common Courtesy is such a good record. And I think it's just because they came back. Well, it was only like 3 years.
That was like it was so great because so they got screwed over by Victory Records. They were being held hostage essentially, even though they followed their contract. They just didn't like how they followed it.
Yeah.
And then Common Courtesy drops, and it's like such a breath of fresh air.
It's so good, and it's like kind of goes back to
had some heart to it.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what happened. It's like once they got their freedom, they started to not be good anymore. You would have thought that them being under a record label, granted they are now fueled by Ramen, who would have guessed?
Yeah.
Although I kind of think that Day to Remember kind of wanted to do that anyway.
Yeah.
I feel like they weren't pressured into releasing songs like this. I think they just kind of wanted to. Like, there are some new songs off You're Welcome that I do enjoy, but not for A Day to Remember songs, which is like, maybe that's my fault for pigeonholing them. But I mean, once you release a product so many times that like, hey, this is definitely a Day to Remember record.
And this is working.
Yeah. Like, and then it's like, then you just kind of throw it away.
They put out this record and it felt like they digressed, you know?
I feel like they like the production sounds good,
but just the
songwriting,
the quality
is poor.
Yeah. He falls into that trap of repeating the same word over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I think it's in this song.
It's lazy, it's rememberable. You know, like, I get why artists do it, but like I can't imagine it.
But they're the same people that wrote Homesick, and you're like, that album was a banger.
It's a masterpiece record. That I personally think What Separates Me From You is their best record, but that's just my little thoughts. I mean, I am a huge A Day to Remember fan. If they're playing live, I'm probably going to buy tickets to go see
them. Oh, I'll go see them. Yeah. They put on a hell of a live show, dude.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Yeah. I've seen them live probably three times now, maybe.
I think I've only seen them twice.
Yeah, but God, they're so good. So it was just really disappointing with this record. But Roper, did you have any more things to say? Should I jump into my little synopsis?
Oh, You didn't give yours already?
I got my synopsis yet.
Yeah, I feel like they kind of phoned it in with your welcome, and we're really relying on that really, like, heavy on the drums. You know what I'm talking about? Like, the heavy on the bass drum sound, where it goes, doo, doo. It's one song in particular that I'm thinking of.
I think every song on the record sounds different, which is kind of an accomplishment if you think about it.
But it just sounds like generic rock songs to me.
Some of them do. Like, Bloodsuckers. Like,
oh, God.
I love Bloodsucker, but that's just because I love, like, I can listen to the rock radio today and then not be like, wow, what an amazing song, but like just be fine with it.
Yeah, it's like background noise.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what that reminded me of, like Last Chance to Dance. That was okay.
Yeah.
Like I think that was if that song was on another A Day to Remember song or record, it would do great. People would love that song.
Yeah.
So here's what I'm just going to go into my
Yeah, go for it.
Do I think they sold out? I do, but with a catch, Roper.
Oh, there's a catch.
There's a catch here. I really think they have tried to hold on to some of their dignity by releasing songs like I mentioned earlier, Last Chance to Die, or Damn. Last Chance to Dance. I don't know why I said die. Songs like Everything We Need Is Lazy and Built for Radio, like many of the other songs off of Your Welcome. There's just so much that the band could have done better here. Like, Jeremy is a good songwriter.
Yeah.
So why is some of these songs so poorly written? I kind of understand, like, trying not to repeat yourself as an artist, but if you're talking about Fuck You Money, like,
God damn it. Yeah. You should have talked about that song.
I mean, it's trash, Little that's for sure.
My Fuck You Money. It sounds like a country song.
Yeah, we should. I'll change it into a country song. I bet it's a better song.
Probably.
I bet it's a better
song. Put a little twang on it.
But that's just my thoughts, like, as from the perspective, like, of a diehard fan, they used to be my number two favorite band forever, and they have dropped out of the top 10 because of their last two records.
Yeah.
Still love them, though. Still go back and listen
to
them.
You were correct. Paranoia was on Bad Vibrations.
Thank you.
But I didn't like that single when it came out, so I just grouped it in with You're Welcome.
I can't believe you didn't like this. I thought it was amazing.
Nah.
I remember hearing that single when it first dropped, and I was like, oh, the new record's gonna be so good.
I was like,
I'm so excited. And then I just got pooped on. I don't think I liked any of the other songs.
I was like, you could do better. Yeah. You're welcome.
Okay, are we done with it?
Yeah, they sold out.
They sold out. Sad. Next band, a popular one to discuss, Blink-182.
Yeah.
Let's just hit it off with Damn It. It's happened once again. I'll turn to a friend, someone that understands. Sees through the master plan.
Song fucking rules.
Damn It's a great song. I don't think I've ever met anyone who didn't like Damn It.
Yeah.
And I don't want to meet you. So if you don't like Damn It, keep it to yourself.
Yeah, keep it to yourself, Damn It.
Dropped in 1997. I was 2 years old.
I was four.
Oh, wow.
Five.
How the times have. Anyway.
How the times have changed in the winds. Yeah.
Dude Ranch, I've actually. So here's the thing of older Blink-182. I have not listened to a lot of their older stuff.
Yeah. A lot of their earlier stuff. I'm going to get so much shit for this, but like Cheshire Cat, easy for me to say. And like Buddha and some of Dude Ranch, I can like give or take on.
Yeah, kind of how I felt.
But it's really like where people would be like, this is their sellout records, where I'm like, fuck yeah, Blink-182.
Yeah, yeah, we'll get into that. We'll get into that. Dude Ranch, I remember listening to this record from the beginning to the end just because I wanted to like have the, I wanted to see what everyone's so crazy about Blink-182, and I just didn't get it.
Well, I think once they added Travis Barker, then that's really where they like, they gained like a real musician to the band, and that's where they're like,
sure.
That's the perfect formula.
When did he join? What album do you know?
Enema of the State, so the album after this, yeah.
Okay, see, I only really listened to the Greatest Hits forever.
That's the only CD, or only Blink CD I had for the longest time, so yeah. I'm in that boat with you.
So, I mean, I think that it's just an older generation of, you know, people that got into pop punk at a different time. Like, when I got into pop punk, like it was like the third wave where it was like the Wonder Years, the story so far, Man Overboard.
Yeah, you got the defend pop punk era.
Yeah, that's when I jumped into it and loved every second of it. But so a song off their newest record we can talk about, I Really Wish I Hated You. 'Cause I don't really like myself without you. Every song I sing is still about you. Save me from myself the way you used to. 'Cause I don't really like myself without you. Dropped in 2019 off the record 9. All right. So just a quick little review of I Really Wish I Hated You. This song was bred for the radio in an age where radio doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Why?
Out of touch.
It's maybe that, I mean, that does make sense. They're a bunch of older dudes, which I kind of get into a little bit later. But Blink-182 is what. You play Damn It next to this? That's not the same band.
Yeah.
Granted, like, we lost Tom DeLonge.
Yeah.
Which is disappointing. I don't really like Tom DeLonge's other projects either, but
you don't like Angels and Airwaves?
It's too spacey sounding for me.
See, that's what I like about it.
Yeah, I get why people do like it.
It's radically different from Blink, and it's like, you can kind of see him doing his own thing where he's like, actually enjoys it, and it's not writing songs about poop and farts.
Well, you know... I feel like Angels and Airwaves could inject a little poop and fart into their music.
Oh, dude.
No, I'm joking. It's not for that at all.
And there's no poop in space.
Why is that so funny? no, I don't know. It's I really could never connect to Blink 182 that much. I just passed me by.
You just weren't there for it.
I just wasn't there for it. And I think just before I jump into it, there was like the pre Take Off Your Shirt and Jacket album. That's kind of when
pants
they
pants and jacket.
Take off your shirt and jacket. fuck. I'm just gonna leave it in. Take off your pants and jacket. Sorry, I'm not thinking properly right now. I think that's where a lot of people would say that Blink 182 actually sold out.
Yeah.
Because that's when the radio hits started coming around.
I would argue that Enema of the State is where everybody's like, this is, and that was the album before Take Off Your Pants and Jacket.
Okay, maybe I missed that one.
Enema of the State has like All the Small Things, What's My Age Again.
Okay, what's Take Off Your Pants and Jacket? What's that one?
That one's got Rock Show and Stay Together for the Kids.
Okay, I kind of think that's that a better record.
That album's, I think that's my favorite Blink album.
Mm-hmm. Like, What's My Age Again? And what was the other one you said that was really popular?
All the Small Things.
All the Small Things. I think, like, I don't know if it's just because I've heard them too much, but I'm just so sick of those records or songs.
I could see that. It's been over 20 years of that. But, like, that's when I first started, like, really paying attention to music on the radio.
Okay.
When that album dropped. And I just remember being in my babysitter's car and them playing All the Small Things and me being like, work sucks. I know. And then I'd be like, you get it, right? As she's working.
Wait, how old were you?
Five or six.
What a smart ass kid.
It was great.
Yeah. I don't know. I really wish I loved these songs a little bit more, but I don't.
Yeah.
So if anyone can think they can like make me a Blink 182 fan, I would love that. I feel like I wasn't a phony pop punk fan, because when you think of pop punk, you think of Blink 182.
I think everybody like mentions Blink 182 first because they're the most like universally known pop punk band.
Sure.
You could argue Green Day too, but they don't even consider themselves pop punk.
I don't even know what they think they consider themselves as. I think Green Day is just kind of, like, I think Green Day's got some good songs.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about putting them on this list because I would have loved to explore their newer songs a little bit. Because I'm a huge fan, but because I think the sound is in it. Because, like, I can't decide if I like it or not.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I really enjoy, like, Dookie and Nimrod. Like, I love those two albums.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been listening to those albums since I was a kid, too. So, there's a lot of, like, nostalgia glasses with that.
Yeah.
But, like, American Idiot was one of the first albums that I bought with my own money. And I remember not understanding the whole concept of it, just knowing the songs that were on the radio and stuff. And then I don't know. Once they hit 21 guns, I was like, this song is gross.
Dude, it's funny you said that, because that's the song that I heard that was like, this cool song to steal off LimeWire that week.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember like stealing off LimeWire and then listening to it and thinking to myself, I thought this was supposed to be good.
And it's not.
And like, I could still sing it, because when you're younger, you listen to what's popular to kind of like, you know, blend into your surroundings. Yeah. But that was something that I did not like.
No,
and,
I was not a fan.
But I mean, American Idiot, I still think that's a great song.
Oh, it's a great album.
I think Canadian Idiot's better, but...
Is that a Jared Alonji song?
No, that's a Weird Al Yankovic song.
Oh, duh.
You fucking fool.
I think... I'm not a Weird Al fan.
What? Weird Al's amazing.
I have one of his albums. It's the one with Eat It on it.
Eat It?
Yeah.
You like Eat It? That's one. I like that one, and I like the White and Nerdy song.
Oh man, I remember when that came out. Man, I was in eighth grade.
I thought that song was fucking amazing.
I thought it was hilarious.
Enough Weird Al. Come on.
Well, can I give you my opinion on Blink 182?
I mean, I suppose.
All right. So mine's very like I love those first two like commercial albums that they put out. Enema of the State, Take Off Your Pants and Jacket. I love them both so much. I think they're great pop punk records. And without those records, we wouldn't have half the music in this genre that we do now.
It's probably true.
That being said, I think those three together make magic. Like Tom, Mark, and Travis made magic, at least.
I think they balanced each other out.
They were good. They were great together. And then, I mean... They really didn't like hit it off until it was that combination of three. And so, I mean, they really didn't explode until it was that combination of three. And I'm sure people are going to be like, you're wrong. But this is my opinion. But that being said, I think an album that I think if they would have continued the sound from the untitled or the self-titled record, the one that came after Enema of the State with I Miss You and like Feeling This on it, that had a more mature sound to it.
It did. It was,
and
it was
I feel like if they would have continued with that, then that they would have been a more mature sounding band. And I feel like we would be having a different conversation right now.
Yeah.
But they ended up parting ways and stuff after that, like taking a break from Blink, and like Tom made Boxcar Racer. And Boxcar Racer is like an extension of that third album. I didn't realize that until our boys in Empty Space broke down that record. And I was like, I agree with everything they're saying.
Yeah, I listened to it actually after listening to their podcast.
Yeah, that
about
album
it.
That album's really good.
It wasn't for me.
You can kind of see where they both like where the fork in the road is, because Mark goes on to make Plus 44 because he's like, well, I want to be in a band with Travis too. And so they make Plus 44, and I can't listen to any of that. I do not like it.
I don't like Plus 44. I remember that record being really popular.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I don't really get it. I don't, why, who is this? And then I later found out it was from Blink-182, and I was like, that's why.
And I think too, with them kind of selling out, is them with Mark and Travis like producing a lot of newer acts now, especially with like Travis Barker, like everything, most of the artists that he works with, it is like factory made. So I feel like there is this cookie cutter, or I should say template, where Travis goes in the studio and he's like, we're going to make the next great Blink-182 song. But he takes every like new artist and like, all right, we're making a new Blink-182 song. And then he realizes he's with a new artist. He's like, we can't make a new Blink-182 song, but we can make something that sounds similar.
Yeah. I don't know. Avril Lavigne's like, Bite Me song, it had enough of her in it that I was like, I like this.
Yeah,
but it also
still
had enough of Travis in it where I was like, that like really bad aftertaste when you drink one of those like diet sodas.
Yeah, the aspartame taste.
Yeah,
you know?
that's what Travis Barker is to me now.
He's cancer to you now.
He's a little bit of cancer. Just a little.
He got a little
anytime,
cancer in the genre.
Any single time I see his name on something, I go, fuck.
I don't want to listen to that.
I know. But I did. And I don't know, like with Machine Gun Kelly, it was new enough to where I was like, oh, okay, I like some of this. And now
see where that got him.
Yeah, no, and then now he's so now I don't even want to talk about. Yeah. I feel like we mentioned Travis Barker way too much, but I mean it's hard not to, you know.
It's hard because like we idolized this guy for so long, and then you see him now, and you're like, man, he's part of the Kardashian crew, and like yeah.
I do think he's an amazing drummer, though.
Oh yeah,
I to this day, if I hear some of his drums, I'm like, yeah, this is
he's
great.
Fucking talented.
I love this.
I just wish that he would try new things with his stable production of artists that he has, yeah, because they're all different people and they can't all go on being like one Blink 182 song, please.
I mean, but like, it's funny because people compare them to Blink 182 and I don't hear it.
Really?
I really don't. I'm sure I'm wrong because everyone says that it does.
Yeah.
But like to me, when I think of Blink 182, I think of like all the small things and I think of I Miss You. And yeah. I don't think any of the new songs sounds like those at
all.
I'll
give you kind of an example that I'm thinking of right now.
Hit
like
me.
Kenny Hoopla's Hollywood Sucks. I love mm-hmm. that song, but the guitar riff in it sounds like something Tom DeLonge would have wrote.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because I don't think Travis knows how to play guitar. He probably knows how to play it a little bit, but not enough to like record it.
Oh, yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
So, and I could be wrong. Someone tell me. So he probably just brings in the same studio musicians
oh, yeah,
to come in, and then they just do their thing that they've already done.
The bass player who rides around with MGK in the movie, in the white van. Remember that guy?
Yeah, kind of.
He plays the bass and everything.
Oh, does he?
I don't know. I just made that up.
Great story. Here's my thoughts. This may be the most obvious sellout band in the pop punk scene to me. They do still manage to have some diehard fans, however, which is kind of crazy to me.
Yeah.
These songs are built for radio, and it's a bunch of old dudes singing like 17-year-olds. I think that's the biggest problem with this.
And it feels like once they like put out like that their comeback record with Matt Skiba, nothing against Matt Skiba. Like I've seen them mm-hmm. live since he joined the band. One of the best concerts I've ever been to, probably because I was like, yeah, Blink. But I feel like with that record that they put out with him, the first one, it just felt like they weren't trying anything new.
Was it the one that Bored to Death?
Yeah.
On? Yeah. They only have one song on that record that I'll go back to, and it's that pool song.
Oh,
yeah.
I know what song you're talking about.
I want to see some naked dudes.
Yeah.
That's why I built this pool. I think that's like the best song they've ever released, actually.
Yeah.
Or I Can't Get You More Pregnant, another classic. I do like that. So like songs like that are great, you know, they're just kind of like jokey songs. And
yeah,
they have
fun.
like the one song like is a breakup song. I Really Wish I Hated You.
Yeah.
But like you're not, when's the last time you went through a breakup? You've been married for like 20 years. Come on.
Yeah, I think people are writing for them now. I think you and I have talked about this on here.
Maybe. I kind of really think it's them writing it.
That's weird. Maybe Travis is writing the lyrics now, too.
maybe that's the problem. Like, Machine Gun Kelly talks about a breakup. It's like, okay, that makes a little bit more sense. He's like in his 20s or like early 30s
yeah.
at least. Like, that seems to make a little bit more sense than a bunch of 40-year-olds that have been married for 10, 20
yeah.
years. But, you know, again, that's just my own little thoughts. As a side tangent of Travis Barker, he seems to have figured out the formula to popular pop punk music.
Oh, yeah.
And I give him some props there. But everything is starting to sound the same to me. We really need to see something different. I would love for, like, Stage 2 Travis to come out with some fucking bangers. And we're like, whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah, he, like, puts his mech suit on and he's like, we're putting out some bangers.
Well, he released that last song with Machine Gun Kelly that was so bad. That's probably the worst release we talked about in all of 2020.
That song like hurt my soul to listen to.
Yeah.
I'm not even like an MGK fan. It was just so terrible.
It's yeah, I would listen to
like who said it was good?
I don't think anybody did. I think there was one person that said they kind of liked it, if I remember right.
Yeah, I can't see anybody being like, "You know what song rules? That grunge song that MGK wrote."
I think I'd rather listen to his record three times all the way through before I had to listen to that song again.
Well, yeah, because his record has some enjoyable songs on it.
Yeah.
Like the Halsey song alone. Like,
Halsey song's good. I like Concert for Aliens.
Yeah.
I think that's like the obvious one.
What's that? Bloody Valentine. I like that song.
That's all right. It's got a cool guitar.
It's on Tony Hawk, and I get excited every time I hear it.
Do you really?
Yeah, the song rules.
It's so funny. That's all my thoughts on Blink-182. Blink-182 is such a weird band for me because I feel like it's a band. It's like the Beatles. I feel like I should love the Beatles, but I don't.
Do you at least appreciate the Beatles?
See, that's the thing. I feel like that's the Beatles' way, or Beatles fans' like way of like getting what they want either way.
Because I'm not even a Beatles fan, and like there's some elements to it that I appreciate. Like Paul McCartney's bass playing, phenomenal.
I think their songwriting is unique and interesting, and they did so many cool things.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, you could say I appreciate it, but like, honestly, if I never heard a Beatles song ever again, I'd be floored.
I agree with you.
Every time I hear it come on, I'm like, why? Why do I have to listen? But then I hear so many of my favorite bands like, oh, yeah, I love the Beatles. You know, I take so much inspiration from them. And I'm like, how did you get some fucking crazy-ass punk song even come close to a Beatles song? I've never heard a Beatles song that sounded even similar to that.
It's all a matter of perception.
I think it's just melodies and
stuff. Yeah, that's really what it is to do with it.
And I mean, you know, it is what it is. If you guys like the Beatles, which I'm sure plenty of you do,
that's
cool. Props to you.
Go listen to The Who. They're more of a punk band than the Beatles are.
The Who? I can't even name a Who song.
Dude, come on.
Who is The Who?
You know that one song, Cable Car?
Yeah. And I know it because the Data Remember did it and The Fray did it. And The Fray did it 10 times better.
Because The Fray wrote the song.
Yeah. Oh, they wrote the song?
Yeah, you told me that The Who wrote it originally.
Yeah. Am I still wrong?
Yeah.
100%. I was like hoping history would have changed by now. Oh, well. We can't win them all. Do you have anything more to say on it? On good old Blink?
Yeah. I just...
Disappointingly.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't... Because I'm kind of in the middle. Like, yeah, they sold out for sure. But, like, mm-hmm. I still appreciate them. This one was a hard one for me to talk about because, like, I feel like they had magic with Mark, Tom, and Travis, and then...
I really loved Mark's guitar leads. Or not Mark, Matt. Not Matt. Tom DeLong. I don't really care about the other three.
I love Tom DeLong. Really? His leads are great.
Yeah. Something about, like, I think Mark Hoppus has, like, the correct harmonies. I think Tom DeLong had the right guitar work. Simple, but yet unique.
Exactly.
And then Travis Barker comes in like a fucking crazy ape machine. He's like, brrr, all over the place.
What's a crazy ape machine?
I meant ape machine. Like, he's just a monkey on a drum kit, you know, just like bashing it, but it all sounds good somehow. You see that guy play. It's like he's got...
Oh, it's great.
Four dude. Arms.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not that monkeys have four arms, but...
Some of them do.
Guess you learn something new every day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sorry, continue.
I lost train of thought, so like we're good to move on.
Okay. Okay, good to know. Our last band, the story so far. I was really excited to talk about this one.
Start it over. You gotta do it in a Boston accent.
I can't, I don't do Boston.
The story so far.
Hey, is this good for you?
Shout out to Batchy.
I feel like I'm someone that like moved from the like out of country into Boston, and they've been trying to like get
like
the
a Canadian.
Down.
You sound like you're from like northern Canada.
Yeah, I don't even want to try
Saskatchewan.
Again.
Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan.
Oh, Mary.
God.
I don't know. I'm like, I've asked people like, do I have an accent? Because I used to live in Florida,
and then
they were like, no.
I
couldn't even do an accent on accident.
My aunt in Washington swears that me and my sister have an accent.
Really?
Yeah. I just drag out my A's on purpose because I think it's funny.
Yeah. sometimes my lady, she has her Missourian accent.
Oh, she goes Southern.
Gets like frustrated with something, she'll be like if I'm like annoying her too, which is my favorite thing to do. She'll just be like, go on, get out, go away. You know, it's just so funny.
God dang old boy over there, quit picking on me, god dang it.
And then, like, you really get her frustrated, and we call it her trucker talk, and she's like, and she's like, she just keeps going. It's just so funny.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, man, I love it.
Call her Marge.
Anyway, story so far. We chose one of their beautiful songs, Daughter.
Why you're near?
song rules.
You love Daughter.
Yeah.
I think
daughters. Plural. Come on,
sorry,
man.
I only got the singular form on here on accident.
We're not talking about Pearl Jam.
Ugh. Anyway, 2010s, when that song dropped off their record Under Soil and Dirt, which is probably my favorite record by them.
This record rules.
It's a great record. Holy shit. Especially for how young they were when they made this.
Yeah, they were just out of high school.
And then we kind of agreed that if there was any song that could be potentially a sellout song, we would assume Take Me As You Please. That dropped in 2018 off their record Upper Dose.
Proper Dose.
God damn it.
Upper Dose.
I think when I was writing this, I was just out of it. I hardly remember.
That's another Story So Far song, too.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So much to think about here. Because, like, I really sat down and, you know, we got that listener response. And then I like, laughed because I was like, no way. Absolutely not. But then I was, like, really trying to see it from their perspective. And be like, you know, because when I'm trying to, like, see something from someone else's perspective, I have to, like, put my mindset in that I'm wrong and they're right, so I can, like, really open up to the idea of it.
It must be difficult for
you. It's so hard. People think that I'm, like, I never, like, look at other people's opinions, but it's not true at all.
No, you listen to both sides, but I just like watching you argue with people.
See, I do it as sport. I do it for sport. I don't do it because, you know, I care enough to argue. There's been very few times where I was like, oh, you said something that I'm very strongly. Like, if someone's like, the Wonder Years are the worst band ever. I remember someone said, like, the Wonder Years hasn't had a good record since before The Greatest Generation or something like that. And I was like, oh.
You're high.
I got my fucking keyboard. Yeah, I started with.
Oh, you were one of those KWs.
KWs?
Keyboard warrior.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes if something really gets me going.
Like A Day to Remember's most recent album.
Yeah, you love that.
It's because I saw it out in the wild.
Yeah,
it wasn't like I was actively looking for it. I just see A Day to Remember post about You're Welcome, and then I'm like, man, that'd be funny. And then I see Hunter post on, this album is trash. And I'm like, yes.
You just go for it, boy.
It was great.
Yeah, so much to go here. So here's what I said. After like ironically trying to like look at this from this other guy's perspective, no, not even close is what I started off with.
Yeah.
I really think that this is a great example of matured sound from a pop punk band that has been, doing this for a while, you know?
Oh yeah.
The music they're making isn't made for radio play and seems to be in line with what Parker Cannon is accustomed to writing in the first place. Honestly, I really love all of the Story So Far records for their own reasons.
Yeah.
And the steps of maturing come from each record is impressive. Under Soil and Dirt, what was the record that dropped after that? What was it called?
I always mess it up with the song that I like the most off of it.
Yeah. Because I feel like that's
what you don't see is what it's called.
What you don't see, the song or the record?
No, the record.
Okay, well, I feel like that's...
Let me look that up, because I'm going to get fucking...
Crucified. I feel like that's like an extension of Under Soil and Dirt.
It's a lot heavier in my mind.
It is a bit heavier, yeah. But then the record following that, which has one of my favorite songs, Heavy Gloom.
That record.
I feel like that was a
so good.
It's not my favorite record, but it has probably my favorite. I don't know.
It has one of my
favorite. All
of
them are great
songs,
for their own reasons.
What You Don't See is what that second record's called.
What's the third one called?
Why am I blanking on that? It's their self-titled one.
Self-titled, yeah. Either way, all great records. I feel like this is a classic example of, you know, watching these guys grow. I think that's really cool. I feel like I could also say that with the Wonder Years. Like I was kind of mentioning earlier, you know, that someone said their new songs suck. And I'm like, but really, like...
It's just different than their old stuff.
Yeah, it's truly a huge maturity, especially on a lyric standpoint, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, not that the band's lyrics were bad before, but they were talking about all kinds of, like, crazy, dumb, little weird things, and then now they're talking about crazy, sophisticated, weird
things.
He's
talking about, like, in Threadbare, he's just talking about his son on Christmas.
Mm-hmm, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Brought a little tear to my eye. Anyways, enough Wonder Years talk.
I had to get my one out today.
It's okay. Parker Cannon can't stay mad forever, you know?
That's not true.
And I think a lot of people, when they use the term sellout, they... I don't know if I said this earlier today, but I feel like they get the term sellout mixed up with something that they don't like.
Yeah.
Like a sound that they don't like.
Because
mm-hmm. I'm someone who doesn't... I don't really use the term sellout. I just like, not for me.
Sure.
You know? But there's certain things where it's blatant, and you're like, oh... I know what they're aiming towards.
Mm-hmm.
But with the story so far, like, I agree 100% with what you said. Like, they just progressed their sound a lot different than what a lot of people were used to.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Proper Dose was very off-putting to a lot of their, like, long-term fans, because it was a lot lighter, and he was talking about different things about relationships and about, like, mending them. And plus, like, when he was right after he wrote the, or before he wrote this, he had done a lot of like self-reflection on himself, and I had read an article where he had really struggled with, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but I think he had some sort of like addiction issues before. And if anybody's ever been in the thick of that, like, you're fucking angry, like,
yeah,
because your life's relying on a substance or a habit that you're used to,
mm-hmm.
and if you're trying to kick that habit, like, once you get out of that, like, you're kind of changed, you know. So I feel like he had changed in between their self-titled record and this record, and had looked at a lot of things that he didn't normally look at in his life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he talks a lot about his family in The Proper Dose, and you don't really hear much about it in the other records, if not at all. So I think a lot of people found it off-putting because it wasn't the same aggressive... it wasn't the same as the last three albums. But do you want them to be cookie cutter the same, or do you want to see your favorite band progress? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's a double-edged sword, because
if you're changing genres, I think that's where I feel like it's okay to be like, yep, not for me anymore.
Yeah.
You know? But like, I don't feel like this was a change of genre. I do think it was a lot of, I do think it was a lot more of a calm record.
Yeah.
And
there's,
in all the best of ways,
there's still heavy songs on this one too. There's If I Fall, I think that's one of the heaviest songs on this record. And I think that song fucking slaps.
I think they're all good, but I don't think the heavy goes anywhere near their older
releases. Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah.
But if you are looking for a faster paced song,
it's on there.
Yeah, there's quite a few on there. And then there's slower ones. And I think they were trying something new, and a lot of people didn't gravitate towards it at first. But once you break down the meaning behind the record, like, you kind of understand why they chose to do it. So.
Absolutely.
I don't think they sold out at all.
Oh my god. Well, Roper, this was our little bit of five bands we got to talk about.
Yeah. It was kind of cool. We got to do like a open forum type deal where we got to express our opinions.
Oh, everyone loves doing that.
Opinions.
Mm-hmm. I think it's bad to just like blatantly call a band out and say that they have sold out.
Well, especially if you have no experience in the music world. Like,
if you don't even know how like a song is written,
or if you haven't even picked up an instrument, you know,
yeah,
or even tried, I mean that's one of the that's why I just say it's not for me if I don't like it, because I know most people put in hard work into it.
Yeah, especially some of these sold out songs are like, that's where a ton of the production comes from.
Exactly,
that's kind of the biggest work with the songs anymore.
Yeah,
but that's just, you know. That's just our thoughts. If you guys disagree, love to hear about it.
Yeah, please add us everywhere.
Yeah, we want to hear your guys' opinions.
Yeah.
And we want other bands that maybe you're like, oh, I think this band sold out.
Yeah.
So please go ahead and tell us. If I get anyone say the Wonder Years, you will be blocked.
Yeah, we're going to beat you up.
Mm-hmm. I'll find you. I know locations.
We're gonna talk like Hunter's girlfriend in a southern accent and kick your ass. Okay. I'll beat that ass.
Let's move on.
Better kick rocks, motherfucker.
Are any of you listeners in a small and up-and-coming band? If that's the case, we would love to hear from you. If you want to be a part of the show, we have a nifty Google form you can fill out to give us all the info we need to get your song submitted. You can find a link in the form in our link tree on any and all of our social medias. Now, Roper!
I'm listening.
Thank you, thank you. This week we have The Losers Club. Cool name. I like
it's
that a lot.
It's from It.
It's from It. That's right. Good job. I'm proud of you. With their song Lights Out Loud. The Losers Club are a three-piece pop-punk slash emo band from Denver that's been around for about 8 months or so. I love how they just like so casually. It's like you're on a date. Oh, we've been around for 8 months or so.
8 months, you know.
Yeah. It's probably longer now by the time we actually heard it. So they've probably been around for closer to a year now. Started during the pandemic and have been playing shows everywhere we can. Story behind the song, this was actually the first song our guitar player slash co-vocalist demoed for the project. It's written about the panic attacks he had as a kid over death and getting older. The whole idea of the song was to have high energy ups and downs, much like going through an actual panic attack. That's super fucking cool.
Yeah.
Very original thought process right there. I like that a lot. So Roper, are you ready to hear this song?
I'm ready.
Let's hear this ditty.
I'm ready. Play it now.
Curse, it's got me sick in the head. I can't lay down cause I'm under duress, and my mind keeps racing like a boy who's a mess. Heaven's just a place to make me feel right, but I know damn well hell is every night, and I can't sleep. Again, my battles with death are the ones I never win. I'm beating my chest just to try and contest, but the truth stands out like a bulletproof vest. I know someday I'm gonna be underground, and the worst part about it is I won't hear a sound, and I can't sleep. No, I can't. Gonna turn the sheets red with a hint of hindsight. No, I don't need your sympathy. A prince without a crown is what I wanna be, yeah. Gun through my head just to flick away the lights. Gonna turn the sheets red with a hint of hindsight. No, I don't need your sympathy. A prince without a crown is what I wanna be, yeah.
No, I can't sleep, oh, you don't wanna know. I can't trust myself not to let it go. Your faith, I found it at the soul. Oh, 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 o
hate you. What do you think of the Losers Club?
Dude, they're catchy as fuck.
I loved it.
They had a nice little bam, bam, bam.
I was just about to sing. Bam, bam, bam,
bam. Right away, my head was just going side to side.
Yeah, it's great. I love the idea of the song. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
The lead guitar was great. I noticed some bass in here that I was like, that's cool. I like that. They really knew how to bring these instruments together and like make them shine in their own way.
Yeah.
At the very beginning of the song, I just heard like the kick drum and I was like, come on, feel the noise. But actually, I think I kind of like this song a little bit more.
Yeah.
AC/DC ain't got shit on you guys.
Yeah. That was, that's quite right that you're thinking of.
But... Nah. I was thinking about AC/DC.
Who don't sing Come On, Feel the Noise at all.
My knowledge on music is zero. Yeah. But I have heard songs I like before, and I know that this is one of them.
This is one of them.
This is one of them. So thanks, guys, so much for doing this for us and coming on the show. Check out The Losers Club with their song Lights Out Loud. It's a fucking jam. You guys have heard it. Download it. Listen to it more.
Yeah. All right. You guys want to reach out to us anytime in your life, you know where to find us. We're at PPES Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That is PPES Podcast. That's on your Facebook.
Yeah.
It's on your Twitter. It's on your Instagram.
Mainly. Yeah,
rarely. It's mainly on Instagram.
We like you guys the most on Instagram. Yeah. There's something about Instagram that's
so much easier than Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, Twitter is for a certain type of person, and we are not those people.
Nope.
And I don't want to become those people.
No.
Completely honest.
I think Twitter, in my mind, everybody is like, I have a random thought that I should share with the world.
And then fight you on it.
And then it goes over like a fart in church.
I've never heard that before.
You haven't?
I like that. We got Spotify as well. We got some awesome playlists. Every song that you heard on today's episode will be on a nice little playlist titled the same thing as this episode.
Yeah, dude.
So you can listen to that. Roper, you said you had a story for me. What's your story?
I've got a joke for you.
Oh, it's shit. Should we? Well, I guess we can just edit on your joke.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you like Harry Potter?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Why don't you buy Harry Potter shots?
I don't know why.
Because the Expectos Patrono. Patrona.
Wow.
Cause, get it? Because Patron is tequila.
Yeah.
And it's kind of pricey if you buy shots of it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I'll show myself out.
Well, that's it for y'all. Where'd you hear that one that you were
I
so
made
excited?
It up myself.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that gives you a little bit more credit. That's kind of like something. I remember I was on a road trip, kind of. It's like just a 2.5-3 hour road trip to go meet my girlfriend's mom's side of the family. And she just gets on her phone and starts reading off dad jokes. And I'm like, let this hell end.
Dad jokes are the best.
I feel like they're funny for the people telling them and then nobody else.
I don't know. Mm. I appreciate a good dad joke.
Do you? Yeah.
Do you have one?
No, I don't. Oh. I don't. I don't.
Dang it.
I know. I haven't reproduced yet, so I don't feel like it's
neither have I.
In my blood yet. But you're old enough to do it. You're an old man.
Doesn't mean I have done it.
I feel like once you grow a full beard, that's when the dad jokes start to
Does
come
my
in.
Dog count as my child?
No.
Oh, okay.
You did not have to procreate to create that.
Well, you don't have to procreate to have a child. You can adopt a child.
Yeah.
You can have one gifted to you.
Happy birthday. Here's a child.
Here's a child on your doorstep. Firemen get them all the time, dude.
Yeah, that's true, but they give them away.
Yeah.
It's rude to give a gift away. I'm going to do that
Especially
to you.
Children.
I'm going to, well, I mean, maybe it's a good thing.
At least we're not, like, putting our kids in cages anymore.
Did we do that?
You ever see those pictures of people putting their babies in a cage out of high-rise windows?
No.
Dude, it was, like, back in, like, the early 1900s.
I remember Michael Jackson, like, threw a blanket out a window. Blanket's his kid. And he was like, look at my baby.
You're being ignorant.
I remember seeing that and then being like, oof. Poor kid.
Yeah.
As I go back to playing Pokemon Fire Red.
Yeah, Michael Jackson's dead.
Oh. You know what's funny? It's like, I was thinking about Michael Jackson recently, and I thought that I made that up in my head, that had died. But no, he's dead, apparently.
Everybody forgot about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember there was this YouTube video of like some person going through his house.
Neverland Ranch?
Yeah. So like I think they were like doing it to sell it to somebody. And then there's like this like ghost fog in the background. Everyone's like, Michael Jackson's ghost. And it was just like, yes.
That's him as a ghost. He's like, ooh.
That was a better joke.
That was better than my Harry Potter joke.
I like that one. Yeah. Something about a...
It's just very spooky house.
Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson. You know, have you seen that Neverland documentary?
Yeah. I only watched like the first part of it.
There's like two parts.
Kind of uncomfortable.
I
don't know if it's true though.
You don't think it's true? I think there are elements of it.
There's some elements of it that I think were true. He was clearly fucked up as a person. But you kind of have to... Because there's other firsthand accounts of people who were like close to him saying like he wasn't that person at all.
Yeah.
Like Macaulay Culkin hung out with him all the time.
What's Macaulay have to say?
Unless he's got... He's not Alexa. But like, unless he's got repressed memories that he obviously can't remember, like...
Has he made a statement on it?
He said that nothing happened.
Oh, well, I mean, like, maybe he didn't seduce all children.
Maybe not to him.
Maybe he just seduced a few of them. Or maybe he didn't seduce anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's just... I feel like there's just too many, like, people that came out about it that...
Well,
it's kind of like aliens. Too many people have seen UFOs for them not to be real.
But it's kind of like the Tiger Woods thing where he had all those mistresses and half of them lied about it.
Yeah, half of them.
Yeah.
You only got to cheat once.
That's true.
You know, that's my thought process, at least.
Oh.
Granted, you know, let the crime be honest. Wouldn't it suck? So, like, you cheated on your wife, and you're like, oh, fuck. And then all of a sudden, like, five other women are, like, coming in and saying, oh, you also cheated with me. And
yeah.
Then he was like, no, I didn't.
I don't even know you, Bernice.
Yeah, get out of here, Bernice. And she's like, my name's Barnell.
All right, Bertha.
Get the fuck out of here. Fucking creep. So, yeah, we had that was an interesting side tangent that had a lot of fun talking about. So, yeah, thanks for another listen, guys.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Make sure to come back next week.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have something exciting for you.
Something cool for you.
Mm-hmm.